Tonight, we give our impressions of Lost Winds and Defend Your Castle for WiiWare, and Activision and Konami have announced their entries into the music gaming genre. All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwolf Show week of May 25th, 2008. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this, Matt. And
it's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Catalarm kind of that game.
Bobby Blackwolf back at Dragon Con 2005. I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwolf.
It landed. That thing on Mars landed. Hooray! Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You are joining us live here on All Games Radio. Welcome. I want to ask you to head on over to our chat room, chat.allgames.com. I'll be reading intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. A little bit later on, I am going to be opening up our toll-free number and our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show, on Skype, or you can call us toll-free, 1-866-880-0156. Or if you're listening to us in the podcast feed, you can email me, blackwolf@allgames.com, or you can use that Skype 9 to leave a voicemail. So it's been a little while, so I'm just going to jump right into it. WiiWare launched, finally, a couple weeks ago on the Wii, and I was celebrating the second anniversary of my 29th birthday. And in celebration of this, two listeners bestowed upon me a gift. So I got to use the gift system of the Wii, as well as try out some of these WiiWare titles, because I was kind of on the fence on if I was going to buy them or not. And bribery works really well, just so you know. So the two games I want to talk about are Lost Winds and Defend Your Castle. Now, Lost Winds was gifted to me by James Patrick, so thank you very much for that. And he really wanted me to give a review of it. I'm going to give some impressions. I haven't really gotten too far in the game. I've just been extremely busy for the past couple weeks with musical gigs and work and the site, All Games, and on all that stuff. So I really didn't get too far in it, but I did get a chance to sit down with it. And, you know, it's a very neat mechanic. Essentially, Lost Winds, it's a 2D side-scroller. But with the quote-unquote gimmick being you control the wind. You're like a wind god. And obviously it's been a while since I played it, or I'd be able to give you the real terms for it. But essentially, with the Wii Remote, you are actually controlling wind. And if you move the Wii Remote around, you rustle leaves around and stuff like that. And you can also propel your little character, which you control with the nunchuck. You can propel him up, or you can smash enemies with wind and stuff. So that's basically its gimmick. And it's, I can't remember what the price is. Obviously, since it was gifted to me, I can't exactly remember what the price is. But I think it was only $10. Somebody's going to correct me in chat in a second. And I think it's worth it. Like I said, I haven't gotten extremely far in the game. So I can't really say, you know, the entire experience is worth it. But I think that the ideas that they did in Lost Winds with the wind mechanic actually work. And it's one of those things where, you know, it's a use of the Wii Remote that actually works. It's not just, you know, oh, you have to slash your wrist to swing a sword or anything like that. It actually makes sense. You know, to move your character, you use the control stick. You know, to jump, there's actually a jump button, but there actually isn't a jump button. The character automatically jumps, but you know, you have to sometimes use the wind to propel him up. It's something that was actually designed around the control scheme of the Wii Remote, which is really nice to see. So I did enjoy Lost Winds. I do eventually want to get back to it once, you know, things die down and, you know, I don't have 8 million people bugging me for things, for lack of a better term. But I think it's a very nice showcase that 2D gaming isn't dead yet. There are still things we can do with 2D gaming. Not everything has to be on a 3D realistic landscape. There are still some very unique gameplay elements that have not been explored yet into the 2D gaming space. And I think that, you know, independent developers are going to be the ones that do this first. And that's why it's nice to see that Nintendo is going after the independent development community, especially in the United States, where even they've said that, you know, American indie developers are more innovative than the Japanese developers. People have actually come out and said that, people in the Japanese development community saying, you know, we wish we were more like America in that sense. So I do recommend Lost Winds if you want a good 2D platformer, side-scrolling platformer, that brings something new to the table. You know, it's not completely brand new, innovative. I mean, you know, you being a god controlling things on the screen is nothing new. But just, you know, the way that it all meshes together, it is a fun little experience. So, Lost Winds, preliminary, I'd give it a B+. It is not, you know, game of the year or superstar material, but it's a very solid effort, and I was very impressed with it. The other game that was gifted to me was actually from Sky, from Orange Lounge Radio, who I hope is feeling better. He's also had a very rough month medically and stuff. You can listen to Orange Lounge Radio to find out more of that. But he gifted Defend Your Castle, which I believe is like only $5. It's a Flash game. Basically, the premise of this game is that you have a castle and there's a bunch of stick figures. Not kidding. Stick figures. It's next generation. Stick figures coming at your castle. And you have to destroy them. Now, in this, you are also a god, and you implement your godlike powers using the Wii Remote. And in the early stages, basically all you can do is, you know, pick up the guys and slam them to the ground, and in which they, you know, break apart and kind of make weird noises, and their head falls off and stuff. And that's basically what you do. For a while, you're just throwing around stick figures. Very easy. And then eventually you can actually turn these stick figures into citizens of your army. You can basically convert them to your army and then put them on the four pillars of your castle as you get enough points to buy the things for that castle. So basically you can turn them into archers or magicians or bombers, anything like that. And then, you know, as the levels, as there's more waves that go on, more and more stick figures come, and they bring in battering rams, which look like not toothpicks, but so yeah, little wood things. My mind's blanked. Basically, and then they just start coming and start doing more damage to your castle, and then you can also have you know, your followers repair the castle, or you can pay to have it repaired using your points at the end of each round. And it's just it starts to get real crazy, especially if you introduce a second Wii Remote in, if you bring in a second player. Then it just got all out crazy, because I had played it for about 30 levels, and then my girlfriend came in, and then suddenly, you know, we pretty much died immediately because there was just so much going on the screen. But it is your time-wasting Flash game. So, you know, you'd have to realize that going in, that there probably is a version of this game in Flash. I did not look for it, but I'm sure it's out there. Very crude graphics. It's all hand-drawn stick figures. That's the look they're going with the game. So, I mean, it's not, you know, that the Wii is incapable of anything more. That's just the art style they decided to go with the game. And it's fun for a little bit. But it is really just a time waster. And, you know, pretty much once you've, you know, figured out how to throw them all around or you know, decapitate them, or you send out a bomber and it explodes them, and even the sounds are, you know, just mouth sounds. You know, they're like, you know, for the bombs exploding is, you know, it's just some dude doing the mouth thing like that. No, I will not do that again. So I think Defend Your Castle is $5, and if you really want it's a decent time waster. It's not one that I would really go back to all that often. But you know, try to see if there's a Flash version on there. You know, Hey Jude says, Defend Your Castle, buy it for the Wii or play it for free at Newgrounds. Try it at Newgrounds, if that's where it's at. Try it there, and then, you know, if you enjoy it there, if you might want to actually play it on your TV using a Wii Remote, then, you know, it may be worth the $5, but don't really go into it blind and stuff. I'd give, for a Wii title, WiiWare title, and granted it is only $5, I would give it a C. It's pretty... It is fun for a little bit, but it's not something you're going to come back to a lot unless you really just want to fling little stick figures around. Seymour Booty does say that Lost Winds is $10. ActF says, good, I like to waste time. Well, there, you know, Defend Your Castle will definitely be a good little time waster. So let's talk about some two game releases, and then I'm going to go ahead and take our break and then go move right into calls, because I know that people really wanted to call in and just haven't been able to recently because of, holidays or what have you, or us not having a live show. So two games, because I am into rhythm action games, and I have frequently criticized the drum set for Rock Band, and there are two companies that are vying for my heart right now. And the first one I'm going to talk about is Activision and Red Octane, trying to vie for my heart with Guitar Hero World Tour. Now, they released an official press release very recently about this game. So basically, it's going to be Guitar Hero World Tour, but it's going to be more like Rock Band, where it's going to have the two guitars, the drums, and the vocals. It's going to have a newly redesigned guitar and a genuine, they say it's a genuine, electronic drum kit and microphone, as well as innovative music studio music creator that lets players compose, record, edit, and share their own rock and roll anthems, along with online band career and eight-player Battle of the Bands. So continuing on in this press release, delivering the largest on-disc set list in a music rhythm game to date. Oh, we'll see about that. Guitar Hero World Tour is composed entirely of master recordings from some of the greatest classic and modern rock bands of all time, including Van Halen, Linkin Park, The Eagles, Sublime, and many more. Additionally, the game will offer significantly more localized downloadable music than ever before on all of the next-generation consoles. Okay, I got to stop here, because they said the exact same thing about Guitar Hero 2 and the exact same thing about Guitar Hero 3, that these games were going to have the most downloadable content out of any game, any type of game on any download service. Uh-huh. Didn't happen. So, I'll believe that one when I see it. Budding rock stars will also be given creative license to fully customize everything from their characters' appearance and instruments to their band's logo and album covers. In addition to a newly designed, more responsive guitar controller and microphone, Guitar Hero World Tour will deliver the most realistic drum experience ever in a video game with an authentic drum electronic drum kit. I have issues with this statement, and I'll explain them in a second. Featuring three drum pads, two raised cymbals, and a bass kick pedal, the drum controller combines larger and quieter velocity-sensitive drum heads with soft rubber construction to deliver authentic bounce back and is easy to set up, move, break down, and store. Okay, so the drum kit, I actually have seen pictures of it, and I have seen some people beat on it, but I have not tried it for myself. Essentially, it is basically they took the Rock Band drum kit, they took away one of the circles, so you have three circles, and then they've got the two kind of inverted crescents to be your cymbals, which is the way that the cymbals are, that's standard in MIDI drum set and electronic drum set, especially the Yamaha style. And what they're saying is that it's not made like the Rock Band kit. It really sounds like these are more done, the pads themselves are more like what you would see in, you know, a rubber electronic MIDI pad from either Roland or Yamaha. Basically, the way the Rock Band drums work is that you have that big plastic thing that you're hitting, which then go down and touch a button that's inside. And that's why there's some responsiveness problems, because sometimes you're hitting it so fast that the button's not coming back up in time, and you have to do, that's why I've got the socks on my drums. So what this is saying is that they're trying to remove that, which would be nice. And then it's going to be interesting to see, because they do have, detecting how much velocity you're using to detect how, if it's loud or quiet. And it's going to be interesting to see how they incorporate that from the game and how accurate that is, because the last game that I know of that did this using the buttons, because the buttons on the PlayStation 2, the DualShock 2, were analog. And so if you hit them harder, then it registered. There was 255 degrees of sensitivity on the buttons. And there was a game, it was called Mad Maestro, which essentially, if you hit the buttons lightly, then the orchestra played quieter. But if you hit the button harder, then they play louder, and it actually scored you on this. But it wasn't exactly all too accurate. Then again, you were using the little tiny buttons. Now, when they say it's the most authentic electronic drum kit, it's still not genuine. They're close. You know, it's got three drums and two cymbals and a hi-hat, and, you know, most drum sets have, or not the hi-hat, but it has a bass drum pedal. Most drums have a hi-hat and then two cymbals, and then, you know, it's laid out differently. So it's still not the right feel of a drum kit, although it is better. They did improve on the designs, and in fact, that's even what I kind of told the Rock Band people. They're like, well, what would you change with the drum setup? Like, I'd make this far right one up higher, like a cymbal. I'd actually move it out. You know, you can still keep it as the circle, but just move it out, or let me rotate the pads. And basically, Activision did that. So kudos to them on that. But it's still not the most authentic. I think that the arcade kit for Drum Mania from Konami back in 1998 or 99, whenever that one came out, that one actually was very authentic, at least the arcade version, because that pretty much looked like a drum set that I would play on, minus the hi-hat pedal. So the music studio, which I'm actually kind of excited about, being somebody who can compose music, says the innovative new music studio lets players create their musical express their musical creativity by giving them access to a full complement of tools to create digital music from scratch, utilizing all of the instruments, and then play their composition in the game. Music creators will also be able to share their recordings with their friends online through GH Tunes, trademark, where other gamers can download their unique compositions and play them. So that will be interesting to see. There are some screenshots out there, and some people are worried that it's just going to be generic loops. But I think they're misinterpreting the screenshots, in that there is some screenshots of the music creator where they show, like, you know, you can choose from these chords and then you can choose from this kind of drum set. But I think that's more the sound, you know, what sounds are made, and then you can actually lay down the beats, or you could use their pre-made ones. But I think you will be able to create your own beats. It's going to be interesting to see how they police this, though, because obviously there's going to be a problem with having copyrighted content. You know, if somebody wants to create, you know, Dragon Force in Guitar Hero in this music creator mode, there, you know, and try to share it over GH Tunes, I don't know if there's going to be some kind of vetting process, be it manual or automatic, or if it's going to be more like YouTube, where a content creator will go in and say, this is copyrighted, you need to remove it, and then boom, it's removed. I don't know how that's going to work, but that's actually one of the reasons why we haven't seen it yet, seen something like this. But I'm very interested in seeing more about that. Dark Tetsuya says, I like the Drum Mania layout, but I could never get used to hitting the hi-hat. And I like the Drum Mania layout because I can't really get used to hitting the hi-hat. Or I did finally get used to hitting the hi-hat in the Rock Band drums, but it's, you know, it's laid out like an authentic drum kit. And in fact, the Drum Mania kit in the arcade was actually designed by Yamaha, and it was a scaled-down version of their DT Express drum kit, which you can actually go buy in a music store. I think the DT Express 3... is still out, but you can actually go into a music store and buy that kit, and it is it's a little over $1,000, I think. But that's a real drum kit that some professional drummers do use. That's what they were using in Drum Mania. ActF says, I'm interested on what Guitar Hero World Tour can do, but I'm not looking forward to it. I'm staying with the people who definitely know what they're doing, Harmonix with Rock Band, and I guess. You know, I would be saying that too, but I see too much potential right now. Now, granted, you know, I'm not going to go sit here and say Guitar Hero World Tour is the greatest thing ever, because obviously I haven't used it for myself. But there is potential here. And I, as much as I do love Harmonix and what they've accomplished, and I pretty much love everything that has come out of that studio, Frequency and Amplitude and all them, not everybody who is smart about music and smart about video games works at Harmonix. I do believe that there are people out there that are in tune, much like Harmonix is, that hopefully work at Activision and Red Octane and Neversoft. If Neversoft is working on this one, I don't know. So I'm holding out hope because I just feel like being optimistic right now. I'm very interested to see where this is going and to see if they actually pull it off right, or if it's going to be, wow, that sounded really good until I actually saw it. Hey, Jude asks, is the Guitar Hero drum set that is going to be released more realistic for you? Yes, the Guitar Hero drum set is more realistic compared to the Rock Band drum set. Okay, I am happier with the placement of the pads. It's still not perfect, but then again, I have high standards. But yes, it is more. It's having the symbols away from you. It's more that fits more with the natural motion of your hands. The three drums are still kind of laid out in a weird way, and it's still kind of like playing in a marching band rather than playing a drum set. Gripper01 says, it seems Guitar Hero is catering more to the hardcore, whereas Rock Band seems more accessible to all. And I can, you know, with Guitar Hero 3, that's where they went. I mean, they upped the difficulty of the note charts and, you know, went for the people who wanted a challenging gaming experience, whereas Harmonix was always wanting to make people feel like music superstars, you know, make them feel like they were on the stage. And Activision and Neversoft with Guitar Hero 3 said, no, we actually want to make a challenging game. And to some people, that meant throwing away some of the musicality. You know, the note charts didn't really make sense musically, especially on expert mode. And that's probably where they're, you know, where they're really trying to go with it. And there were people who preferred Guitar Hero because it was challenging, specifically because it was challenging. So, you know, that's kind of the segment that they're going for. Obviously, Guitar Hero 3 still sold a lot. There's still a large market. There's a bunch of people who know Guitar Hero, and in fact, it's kind of funny. Somewhere else in this press release, which I'm not reading, they actually do say, you know, we are the innovators. Guitar Hero is the innovators of, you know, we created this genre with Guitar Hero. Now, granted, it was somebody from Red Octane, that said this, but, you know, Guitar Hero, really, that is the name that people know, and that's what people equate with guitar games, is Guitar Hero. Not Harmonix, not Konami, even though Konami was first, not Gibson, even though they have the patent on it, allegedly. Zappy says, I'm waiting to see what Guitar Hero is like before I buy more plastic instruments, and that's perfectly reasonable. And, you know, I'm kind of saying the same thing, although I know I will probably buy it personally. But, you know, definitely do not buy it without trying it somehow. Be it in a store or, you know, if they do a tour in your area, like Harmonix did the Rock Band tour all across the nation. Definitely, if you already have plastic instruments in your house, you know, try it and make sure it's really what you want. Because obviously the kits are not going to be compatible with each other. Nutman says, people playing Rock Band and Guitar Hero don't want to learn how to play guitar. And I would agree with you to a point. Now, you're right. There are people that play Rock Band, and because I hear this all the time from other musicians saying, well, why don't you just go buy a real guitar instead of playing the plastic thing? And I will say that it will at least... there is a chance, and there are people that I know that have done this, that have picked up Guitar Hero and really enjoyed it and said, hey, you know, I want to learn how to play a real guitar, and then they go out and they go buy a guitar and try to get some lessons or try to teach themselves or whatever, and they get into playing guitar. And to me, that is pretty much one of the biggest benefits to these music games, because anything that gets somebody up and saying, I want to play a musical instrument, I think that's great. Because, I mean, I'm a big supporter of, you know, keeping music in schools and stuff as well, because, you know, if I didn't have band... Now, I mean, I know there's really not much guitar going on in school band, but, you know, if I didn't have band in high school, in middle school, in high school, in college, I probably would have gone crazy. So, you know, I fully support, you know, keeping music in schools, but also, you know, even after then, people, you know, finding out, you know, if they're really good musicians, you know, or learning to become good musicians, I don't find that as a problem. If Guitar Hero is a gateway drug to learning how to play guitar, real guitar, or Rock Band is a gateway drug to learn how to play real drums, then there's nothing wrong with that. There are things, especially, I mean, even in Rock Band with their drum kit, with as bad as it is, it still teaches you things like independence between your hands and your feet, especially at the later levels, you know, and basic rudiments, the paradiddle and things like that. You have to be able to employ those to do well at the game. And that is stuff that you can translate to a real drum set. You just have to move your arm farther, and you have to reposition your arms, and that, you know, so you're going to have to retrain on some stuff, but, you know, basic rhythm, basic timing, foot pedal techniques, stick grip techniques, you can learn all that stuff in Rock Band. And so, I mean, that, I think that, you know, games like this are really good for the music community, as well, and for musicians, because, you know, one thing people say is, you know, it's a shame there aren't more musicians out there, and I hope that, you know, this will give somebody the inspiration to go get a real guitar and learn it. Sully907 says, do you think we'll run into situations where bands sign exclusive DLC contracts with one of the three games? We've already seen it. Aerosmith. Aerosmith is exclusive to Guitar Hero. You will not see another Aerosmith song in Rock Band. I'm sure we will see that. I mean, it's going to be something, you know, interesting to watch. I kind of wish that wouldn't happen, because I think, you know, consumers should have a choice of which game they play. You know, they should be able to get, you know, whatever the songs are, no matter the game. But that's just my utopian thinking, and that's not going to happen. But we've already seen it a little bit, you know, with Aerosmith going to Guitar Hero. I think Guitar Hero is trying to get the Beatles to become exclusive to them. You know, Activision is already going that route of trying to get exclusives on signing bands and things like that. So the other game that came out that I'm going to talk a little bit about here that's along the same veins, it's from the creators of the genre. And no, I don't mean Harmonix. I mean Konami. So Joystick was at the Konami Gamers Night to talk about Rock Revolution, which is Konami's guitar and drum game. Now, they do say that despite the fact that it will offer support for lead and bass guitars, Rock Revolution is very much a drum-centric game. The behemoth of a drum controller has six pads and a pedal, looking like something Darth Vader would have had lying around in his hyperbaric chamber. One look at the game in action, and we were already a bit intimidated. Rather than the approaching notes of Guitar Hero and Rock Band, everything scrolls vertically down the screen a la Beatmania and Konami's other Bimani titles. There's no solid line for the kick drum either. It's a separate note out of seven to keep track of. Oh, poor baby. Going with the vertical note stream makes sense from the standpoint of not having your game look just like its two competitors, but we wouldn't help but notice how it almost negated the onstage antics. Antics in the background, especially when two players were at it. Not that anyone will be looking at their virtual band with the maelstrom of notes pouring toward them. Yeah, you never look at the background when you're actually playing the game. The background is there for the people watching the game. Guitar gameplay was very reminiscent of Konami's Guitar Freaks, which never saw release stateside. It uses the same vertically raining notes mechanic as the drums, and there are held notes just like in Guitar Hero and Rock Band. In fact, the game was being demoed using Guitar Hero 3 wireless controllers, although Konami would not say if the final game will offer open support for other music games' peripherals. The complexity of the drum kit, for those who just have to have another one for their collection, seems to be the most distinguishing element of Rock Revolution so far. And so essentially, the drum kit, it's one pad. So nothing's elevated like in the Guitar Hero kit, but it's actually laid out like you would have a drum kit, which was also the same with Drum Mania's home controller, even though it really sucked. It was at least laid out correctly. You've got a snare, one tom, and a floor tom. So those are your three circles. And then you've got three crescents, which are one's your hi-hat, and then you've got a crash cymbal, and then a ride cymbal, which is one more than... which is basically, it's one more pad than Drum Mania had. Drum Mania had two toms and one cymbal, whereas this has one tom and a floor tom to basically be the two toms. And then it also adds a crash cymbal. And then there's also the bass pedal. Nothing with a hi-hat pedal yet. And, you know, a lot of people who probably go to a real drum set don't realize that your left foot actually does things too while you're playing. And it really depends on what style you're playing as to how much use the hi-hat pedal gets. You know, most rock songs probably don't use the hi-hat pedal all that much. You know, others like jazz, you're constantly, your left foot's going up and down just as much as your right foot is. Now, this was an interesting tidbit about Rock Revolution. According to MTV multiplayer blogger Patrick Klepek, the drums carry what sounds like a much more forgiving difficulty curve than those in Rock Band, which, while great, are almost unapproachable by rhythm game newcomers, even on the easiest setting. By contrast, and according to his admittedly brief time with Konami's offering, the game doesn't penalize players for improvising during a song and also features five difficulty settings, with the lower two removing the foot pedal entirely. Thank you, Konami. That's what I thought Rock Band should have done, is, or at least on the easy difficulty, don't put the foot pedal in. Introduce the foot pedal like you would introduce the fifth fret on the guitar. It's the same type of thing. You know, the fifth, a lot of people say that the fifth threat, it's the number one threat to America, the fifth fret on the guitar single-handedly makes Guitar Hero challenging. Well, the foot pedal single-handedly makes drums and Rock Band challenging. And I'm kind of surprised that they introduced it in easy mode instead of waiting until medium to introduce it. So Konami at least has the right idea. And then also, you know, a lot of the problems I've had in a Rock Band is if I'm playing a song like on hard difficulty instead of on expert, and I actually play something that's in the song, but it's not in that particular note chart, I get penalized for it. Whereas it looks like in Konami's Rock Revolution, that's not going to be a problem. The drum controller obviously is going to appeal, this one's going to appeal more to people who do have drum experience. So once again, it's going to be something that I'm going to want to have to try for myself, and unfortunately I'm not cool enough to be invited to Konami's Gamers Day or Gamers Nights or whatever they are to be able to try it myself. But it's going to be interesting to see, and it's I mean, I guess I'm kind of finally happy that this genre finally has come to America, because for the longest time I was playing Beatmania 2DX and Poppin' Music and you know, Drum Mania and games like that, and said, man, I wish this would come stateside. But Konami's big problem is because that they rely too heavily on J-pop and J-rock. And I think Dance Dance Revolution survived in spite of that here, that it was mostly J-rock and J-pop, but it did well in spite of the music choices not really having that many recognizable music choices in America. I think if Konami got rid of, you know, at least for the stateside release, took away the J-rock and the J-pop and actually put in songs people recognize, Konami could have been the people to introduce the genre and had the wild success that Guitar Hero had. But Konami really just loves the J-rock and the J-pop in their rhythm action games, and that's kind of what's been holding them back. And I'm going to be very interested to see if Rock Revolution follows that trend, or if they've kind of finally wised up and decided to actually get some recognizable acts from America in their American release. Because while there are people, probably even in our chat room, that like J-rock and J-pop, it's not the majority, and it's not going to create a game that sells. I mean, Beatmania, unfortunately, didn't sell enough here in America because it had a lot of Eurobeat, which is Japanese techno, pretty much, you know, and not really that many recognizable songs for Americans, and that's why it didn't do too well. So, I'm going to go ahead and take a quick music break and rest my voice, and then we're going to take your calls on anything in the gaming industry. It doesn't have to be what we just talked about, but you can bring in your own stuff. Unfortunately, the music break we will not be playing on the podcast, so we will be back very, very soon for you guys. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
This is Sarge from Red vs. Blue.
And I'm Private Dexter Griff.
You're listening to Bobby Blue Bland on the Black Wolf Show. Or something like that. .com.
I think it's Bobby Badfinger.
Bobby Badfingers to the bone. These nuts.
That was the guys from Red vs. Blue giving a bumper. If you want to leave a bumper for the show, Bobby Black Wolf Show on Skype. You can say something about coming back to the Bobby Black Wolf Show. You can email me an MP3. blackwolf@allgames.com. So Zappy was kind enough, thank you very much, for linking to us, linking to me a Wikipedia article, which obviously means it's true, of the current song list for Rock Revolution. Now, this says it would contain 40 songs, and all of the songs in the game will be covers. And some of the confirmed tracks are, like, let's see, Metallica has Am I Evil, which is a very old Metallica song. It was actually a B-side originally. I'm a nerd. And then it's got Last Resort from Papa Roach, All My Life from Foo Fighters, All the Small Things from Blink-182, Detroit Rock City from Kiss. Let's see. We're Not Going to Take It from Twisted Sister. There's a whole list. Run to the Hills from Iron Maiden. Oh, gee, thanks for putting that one in drum-centric game. It's hard enough in Rock Band. So it's all covers, and looks like a decent list. You can find it on Wikipedia under Rock Revolution. It'll be interesting. I do want to try it. You know, I don't know if these games are going to be coming out before PAX, or if PAX will be when I'll be able to play them, or if I'll be able to get to E3. I don't know. So I am looking forward to playing them and trying them on my own. GK128 says the set list is uber lame, but then again, GK128 wants them to talk to indie bands from the 80s that no longer are together anymore and things like that, which is nonsense. So I'm going to go ahead and open up our phone lines and our Skype line. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype or 1-866-880-0156. If you want to call in and talk about any of this stuff. And actually, while during the break, I actually linked in chat. I actually have an electronic drum kit, and I was actually performing with it. So I was actually out, and that's kind of what I was doing last week. And I put a picture of it and said, you know, yeah, this is my electronic kit. It's a Roland TD-20S. I will actually the picture will probably be in the MP3 lineup. So if you're looking at this, just turn on your iPod, and you'll see the picture. I'll make it the album art. But I'd love to hook that up into Rock Band. Now, I know that like the Yamaha DT Expresses, which I was talking about earlier, you could actually hook those up via USB to a PlayStation 2 and use those as the drum kit for Drummania, for the Japanese PS2 release of Drummania. You could actually hook it up via USB, a Yamaha kit, which is what they used in the arcade version. Hook that up, and you can play the game with that Yamaha kit. I never did try that. I do know people that actually took, there was a Drummania simulator, and I can't, like, for the PC, kind of like Stepmania is for DDR. There was one that was for it, and I think it was DTX Mania or something like that, that allowed you to hook up an electronic drum kit and basically use MIDI in to play Drummania-style songs. And I know that that's out on the PC, and I've done that. And timing was off. But it was, then again, it was pretty much an independent, you know, kind of a homebrewish type thing, even though it was for the PC. Zappy says, people don't get it. It's all about taste. Everyone's taste is different. And that's true. What up, Jess? What up, G says, E3, what a joke. Yeah, it is funny. E3 is even getting smaller and smaller. Its software pulled out of the ESA as well. A lot of companies have started pulling out of the ESA. There are other companies that aren't showing up. LucasArts didn't pull out of the ESA, but they're not coming to E3. Same with NCSoft. It doesn't work with their development schedule. So, I still want to go to E3, because I mean, I'm sure that, you know, Activision and Vivendi being the two major ones that pulled out, they're kind of still hinting that they're going to do something. Oh, it just happens to be in Los Angeles, and it happens to be the same week, and it happens to be close by to the Los Angeles Convention Center. So, and actually there was something else that came out about, the Best of E3 Awards, which are done by an independent group that are not tied to the Electronic Software Association. And they're deciding, you know, their Best of Show Award, should it include Activision, even though they're not showcasing at E3 and they're not an ESA member. You know, because they've often given Best of Show Awards to games not shown on the show floor of E3, but shown in their private hotel rooms, even though they were still exhibiting at E3. They've done that before. So it doesn't actually have to be on, it never had to be on the show floor to win the award. But now the question is, does it even have to be shown at E3 to win the Best of E3 award? Can it be shown somewhere else outside of E3 during the same time frame? And since it's an independent body that does it, and I think it's the Game Critics Choice Award, I think that's what it's called. Since they're an independent body, they don't have to say it's just about E3. So there's kind of that dialogue going back and forth, and nobody wants to recreate what happens at the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences, where you have to be a member of the Academy to be nominated for award, and, you know, Capcom, not being a member, usually, you know, their Resident Evil 4 would not get nominated, Okami didn't get any awards or any recognition, because they're not a member. And there are people that don't want to repeat that at E3. So we do have a call here on the line, so I'm going to go ahead and take it. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, man, it's The Matrix.
The Matrix. What is on your mind, man?
I'm just kind of bored right now. My 360 died a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm still waiting for it to get back.
Wow. So just red rings, yeah, or what?
Actually, the video card died on me.
Oh, the video card. So you got the red lines type of thing?
Yeah.
In some games? Yeah, because I had that. For when I first got Gears of War, it killed my 360 in about 5 minutes. Everything just started seeing this grid of red lines.
Yeah, I remember you posted a picture,
yeah,
of it, and it looked exactly like that on GTA 4.
Yeah, it was the GPU. It starts overheating. That's like a precursor to the red rings.
I don't know, because like the next day I let it sit overnight because it still turned back on, and the dashboard was fine. But in Grand Theft Auto, it was all green-tinted and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it turns back on, but no picture or anything.
Wow.
I can hear it sound. But I had the under Best Buy warranty, mm-hmm. so I sent it back there. I'm still waiting for it to get back.
Okay, so you're not using Microsoft's warranty, you're using Best Buy's.
No. Okay. Yeah, they supposedly check in to see if I didn't damage it or whatever, and then they send me a voucher just to buy a new one.
Okay. So all's well in the end, eventually, whenever that takes... It really takes a couple of weeks for Best Buy to determine that, though?
I don't know. Maybe it's because of the holiday and stuff. But...
Yeah. And it is the Geek Squad. So what have you been doing to pass the time since you lost your 360?
Basically just working and sleeping. I've been playing a couple of DS games in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're pretty boring.
But I think I'm going to buy Elite with the money that I get back.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that. I mean, unfortunately, no 360s are safe still.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, it kind of sucks because I was right. Well, I just had beat GTA 4 and I was playing online with Maximilian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden the screen just turned green and stuff and red lines everywhere.
Yeah, it's just faulty GPUs. You know, they didn't test them all that well, and this is what happens. So I'm sorry to hear about that. Anything else on your mind?
That's it.
Okay. Well, thank you for your call, man.
You're welcome.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. Two questions from Chad. KDog96 has asked if I had ever had the Red Rings. I have had one system get the Red Rings of Death. It got it in Cloning Clyde while my girlfriend was playing it. And then the system I got back from them had the same GPU problem that the Matrix just described, because Gears of War had come out like a week after I got my refurbished 360. And essentially after, I couldn't even get through the training mission of Gears of War without starting to see these red lines everywhere, which is basically a GPU failure. And I'd never seen this in any other games because no other games actually pushed the hardware, the video card hardware, as much as Gears did. Gears of War was the most GPU-intensive game of it at all. Like, it had pushed it farther than any other game had. But luckily it was within the month that it was still under warranty of being a refurbishment, so I had it sent back. Luckily I had some trips out of town, so I really didn't notice that my 360 was gone, because like I'd sent it out and then, you know, a few days before I'd go out of town, and then a few days after I got back I'd get my 360 back. So I really didn't miss it too much, but it was kind of a hassle, and then I had to do the points after repair thing. Seymour Booty asks, what's your opinion on Penny Arcade Adventures? I did try the demo of this, Penny Arcade Adventures, Episode 1 on the Rain Slick Precipice of Darkness. It's a little confusing to me because I just haven't been able to sit down far enough with it. I mean, I've completed the demo, which basically puts you past the first few panels. So you get, I think you kill 19 things. But basically, I've sat through that, and it's a turn-based game with Twitch elements, which some people would really like. There's the challenge, because it's basically Penny Arcade Adventures. It's not about Penny Arcade, the comic strip. We've actually interviewed Joel DeYoung from Hothead Games on this show last year, during right after PAX, talking about it. Unfortunately, I interviewed him the day before they announced that it was coming to Xbox Live Arcade. But basically, you have timers on when you can do actions when you're in battle, and also you have to pull the right trigger or hit whatever block button if you're using a PC or a Mac or Linux. You have to pull it just as the attack is about to hit you, and that's how you block. And you're going to have to do this in battles or you're going to get destroyed. So it takes a little bit to get used to. The humor is definitely Penny Arcade-ish. So if you love Penny Arcade, you're going to love the humor in this. Unfortunately, I have not been able to have the time to sit down with it, which is why I haven't plunked down the $20 yet for it. But I think it'll be well worth your $20. Now, I'm going to love to see how, when they say episodic, what they really mean by episodic. Is it Valve episodic or Telltale episodic? Are we going to see an episode 2 come out in 2 years, or are we going to see it come out in 2 months? I don't know. That's something that I'd like to wait and see. I don't know if anybody else in chat has had experience with Penny Arcade Adventures, you're more than welcome to call in if you've gotten any farther than just the end of the demo. One thing that, you know, is great about Penny Arcade Adventures is it's the first game that I can think of that had a simultaneous release on the Xbox 360, PC, Mac, and Linux. So hats off to them for that, for simultaneously releasing it on all those. And also, from what I understand, the DRM is not all that restrictive on it. In fact, you can actually use the key on multiple systems, I believe. You get a key, like let's say you buy the Linux version because you want to have a Linux game. And you can't get it to run on your Linux system. Well, you can use that same key on the Windows version, which is kind of cool. Seymour Booty says, the game is filthy, though. Lots of bad language. And yes, I will attest to that. There is some bad language, but I think you should be able to handle it if you're a Penny Arcade fan. Amesatsuma says, they hope Episode 2 will come out by the end of the year. So it's a little bit between the Telltale and the Valve definition of episodic. And then also the new Indiana Jones movie. What up, G? Asks if I've seen the new movie. I have not seen the new indie movie. There are several movies out right now I want to see, and I have not been able to get out and go see them. Like I said, I've been a very, very busy person in the month of May. And but I did play a little bit of the piece, the demo. There's actually a Games for Windows download demo of Lego Indiana Jones, and it was cute and stuff. Unfortunately, didn't hold my interest as much as the Star Wars ones did, because I wasn't a big Indiana Jones fan as a kid. You know, I was more into Star Wars. I've seen the Indiana Jones movies, but maybe like once. So it's not like they're ingrained in my head, you know, but I've seen Star Wars several times, all of them. So, the Lego Star Wars hit home more to me, and I enjoyed it more than I did Lego Indiana Jones, but it was just because I like the source material more than I like liked Indy. And to bring it back to video games, the movie Postal, Uwe Boll's new movie, is showing on 4 screens, period. So, I hope you live in one of those 4 areas that's showing it. He can't even buy theaters to show the movie. So I think like the American Film Association said, no, we're not going to carry your movie. We don't want it shown. But it'll be out on Blu-ray in a couple months, so you'll be able to finally get it at retailers. So that's it. That's all the calls that I'm going to take tonight. Coming up next here on All Games Radio is Orange Lounge Radio, which also has been taking a little bit of a break. But they are coming back. I'm going to see if Sacramento there right now.
Yes, we're here right now, Bobby. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you feeling, man?
I'm doing much better. Thank you for your concern. Yeah, we were out last week because I had a very high fever of 103.7. So, we ended up taking the week off. Not that I'm sure Jamie or Matt minded having a week off to play more games.
Rob had brain
cancer. I did not have brain cancer. Stop spreading lies.
It's not a tumor.
It's not a tumor.
It's not lupus either.
Dude, Bobby, that guy's our governor. It's like, it's not a joke. He really, really is the governor.
Rob had brain worms.
Anyway, Bobby, yes. Jamie and Matt are making fun of me, okay? Because I have kind of like this little secret. Like, I don't know. It's like something I guess I'm supposed to be ashamed to say. Mm-hmm. But I've never actually seen the first 3 Indiana Jones movies. Like, I've seen bits and pieces of them. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, what was the one with Sean Connery?
That was the third one.
Okay, Last Crusade. That was like the quintessential, hey, the teacher's gone today, let's watch this in class movie. So I've only ever seen the first 50 minutes of it because, you know, class was over. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but the weird thing is, Bobby, I love the game. Like, Atari put out this arcade game years ago that Roundtable Pizza, it's a pizza joint here in California, had in their little arcade area. And I love the game, but I've never seen the movies the whole way through. Isn't that weird?
I actually don't think I've seen the second one all the way through. So yeah. I'm with you on that. So you guys can make fun of me, too. We'll stand together, Rob, against the tyranny of Jamie and Matt.
Exactly. I didn't even see Star Wars till I was in college, okay? So I've seen it now, thank you.
Did you see the right ones?
Yes, I saw the right ones. So someone I was dating in college insisted that I see the accurate ones. Because this is before the trilogy and all that. He had the old school... like CBS video versions of Star Trek.
Okay.
Star Wars. Do not mix your star things.
Now, Slad. You know, Star Trek, I've seen pretty much all those movies. Star Trek, yeah, I'm a total Trekkie.
Right.
But
what?
You need Dan and I one time when we were in our Laserdisc buying frenzy, mm-hmm. we lucked into the THX remasters of the Star Wars movies that were before Lucas decided to have a brain aneurysm or something and poop all over the franchise.
I think my parents have those too, because my dad was a big Laserdisc nut and stuff.
We lucked into them for $5.
Oh, so
piece.
He's the other one.
Yes, we actually have the from the '70s. Back when it was just DiscoVision.
Oh God, I remember that. We rented Dumbo on DiscoVision once.
But we really? we looked into our laser discs for like $6 a piece.
That's cool.
Nice. Hey, and just real quick about games, because I know what you got to wrap up, so we can go. But games, Konami. I think Konami's missed the bus a little bit on this whole music game thing, which is strange because I know they started it, but. Yeah, they're a little late now. But we'll talk more about that on tonight's show. Since you know we love music video games, too, that's how we all started. We'll be kind of giving some insight to this since we missed the whole thing last week. So
now, we have a good question from our chat room that I want to ask you. This KDog96 wants to know, because you said you haven't seen the Indy Jones game movies all the way through. You haven't seen you didn't see Star Wars for a while. How many times have you seen Rocky Horror Picture Show?
At least 300 in the theater.
Orange Lounge Radio is up next year on All Games Radio. Thanks so much, guys. You'll be on very soon.
It's just a jump to the left.
And then a step to the right.
See you soon, Bobby.
OrangeLoungeRadio.com if you want to listen to that podcast. That will be up right next here, up next here on All Games Radio. We will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on All Games Radio, so you can catch us live and interact with the show directly. Leave me a voicemail on any topic, or just leave a bumper for use on our show on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show. You can also email your thoughts and opinions to me at blackwolf@allgames.com. You can join our official forums at allgames.com to take part in our community. However, we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. Chrisville 1724, DC Nate, GK128, Hendrix, Tedekin, the Rob D, Burning Paper Sun, Bird, D5T, Fifth Dream, Funnydale, Mako, Maximilian, Naruto's Liar, Refi, Seymour Booty, The Matrix, THK, Tiger Claw, Act Deft, Alpha Cananagram, Alt, Amaze Satsuma, Binary 667, Cheeseburger, Cedabria, Dark Tetsuya, De Rocketeer, De Blue Guy, De Farthing, DMN, Dungeon Buster, Fang, Firecube, Footy Monster, Gaudy, Glitch 720, Grave, Gripper 01, Gunstar Silver, Havoc 978, Hey Jude, Hitstun, iHomer, Indo, Interlogic, J. Irv, Jillio, Joe Kill, Johnny Five, JP the Prodigy, Just Insane, Kasatsu, KDog 96, Kazan, Kitsune, Kulex, L. Frost, Mayor Young, Mr. Elusive, Nextil, Nick Ferg, Purple Montage, Ranma, Richie Manic, Sky, Sounds, Spanny, Stone Cold Freak 1, Sully 907, TDB30, TM985, V. Talon, VXJSnixV, What Up G, Will Khan, and Zappy. So that's it for this week. And go play some drums soon, someday, maybe. I'll see you guys next week. I promise. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.